Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, while staying in an old hotel, she heard kids playing in the hallway. However, she found out there were no kids staying there.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you have a real ghost story, why not share it with us? 855-853-4802 if you want to call it in. You can write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want an ad-free version of the show, and you get advanced episodes and access to the archive, you can become a premium subscriber. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. Hey, I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon, my sister, is here. How you doing?
I am here. I'm doing well. I'm anxious to hear a story about a hotel. You know, I love the haunted hotels.
You will like this story.
I cannot get enough of them. But I did have a funny hotel story. Well, I don't know how funny it is, but I went to Greece and I flew back from Greece and I'm in New York City and we stayed the night. We thought we'd go one more night before we fly back to Kansas City. And because we were toast, so we just stayed there that night and so tired from the travels. And we order room service and I order a salad. Right. And they bring up the salad and there is zero silverware.
Oh.
So, you know, I'm staring at it and I'm so tired trying to think, can I do this without silverware? And then I think, oh, I really can't. So I call down to the place and I said, you know, you guys brought it up, but there's no silverware. Oh, there wasn't some plastic silverware with that? And I said, no. He goes, well, there's usually this plastic packet. And I said, but there was.
But I usually see it.
Yeah. So he goes, well, we'll bring some up to you. And I said, okay. So in a few minutes, the door knocks and this guy hands me a bag and I open it. And honest to God, Carol, there must have been 50 packets of silverware in there. like it's a bag full of little packets of silverware. Like there must have been 50 of them. And I dumped them out and we both just started laughing. It was my girlfriend and me. Like we were just dying laughing. Like,
so
I just needed one fork.
Do you think that they were like, bitch, we'll show her. She wants some silverware. Take her the whole damn bag.
She wants to complain about silverware. I'll give her some silverware. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, and this is the one thing I just don't want at a hotel is to hear kids playing in the middle of the night and know there aren't kids there.
Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out in the hall and find out what's going on, why people aren't watching their kids.
Which I do.
That's
think
totally this, what I'm going to do.
I kind of think this lady did that.
Okay.
So here's the story. And it says, it was Valentine's Day weekend. My spouse and I were driving through a chilly evening into the mountains. We had reservations at a quiet mountain hotel with dinner and amazing views. When we arrived at the Victorian style hotel, we received our room key and headed up the numerous stairs to the top floor. Our room was small and quaint with a slanted ceiling that hovered close to the head of the bed. Red roses filled a vase on a small table next to the window that overlooked the parking lot. Outside, the wind was picking up. So she's having a romantic Valentine's Day, something I haven't done in a really long time. Like, do people really do this?
Yeah, somebody really got roses? Like, that really happens? Like, I've heard of it, but I never
knew that. How do you even find someone to go out on a date with? That's hard enough. Okay, anyways. It says, we headed down to the ballroom for our dinner reservation and consumed a wonderfully cooked lobster and delicious potatoes as a couple around us got engaged or reconnected on the dance floor while the band played 1920s tunes.
Oh, my gosh. So romantic.
I know. Afterward, that would be the night you and I would just happen to be staying there. It's like, oh, shit. Is this February 14th? Great. You want to dance, Kathy?
Yeah, I'm with my sister. Thanks.
Afterward, we wandered the lobby, admiring the old steam car and the music room that had been decorated for weddings, and we returned to our room. I decided to look for an ice machine to cool our canned soda, and I walked the quiet halls past rooms and suites. But when I passed the stairs to the bell tower, I was startled by the sounds of children laughing. I was standing outside one of the suites, and I assumed the children were playing inside while their parents dined downstairs. I did think it was a little odd that children would be in a romantic hotel over Valentine's Day. I continued on, reached the end of the hallway without finding an ice machine, returned back in the direction I had come. When I passed the bell tower stairs again, the hairs on my arms stood up and I noticed it was quiet. No sounds of children or televisions. I quickly returned to my room. We enjoyed the rest of our evening and settled into bed. It was around midnight, and I never sleep well the first night in a hotel. It's unfamiliar, and I tend to pick up every noise. I am exactly the same way. The wind had intensified, rattling the window, and a tumbling noise was coming off the roof above us. I assumed it was the snow being shifted down the roof by the wind. The trees swayed, casting moving shadows on the walls. I struggled to fall asleep, and around 3 a.m., a new sound hit my ears. I concentrated on the sound. It was like a bouncing ball being tossed against the walls in the hallway. I heard children laughing. Annoyed that their parents were allowing them to be up so late, I got up from bed, opened the door, and stuck my head outside. There was no one there. Our room was at one corner of the hotel, so I could peer down one hallway and down the other. No one was there, and it was completely quiet. I closed the door to make sure to lock it and return to bed. As soon as I shut my eyes, the noise started again. I could hear footsteps running down the hallway. The ball bounced against the wall, and the kids laughed. I got up, returned to the door, peered out the peephole, and saw nothing. It was at this moment I began to feel that I was experiencing something I shouldn't. The rest of the night, I hid under my covers but never slept. When my spouse awoke, I packed us up and went downstairs to check out. The desk clerk asked how I enjoyed my stay. I said I couldn't sleep. The kids were playing all night in the hallway. She paused and said, "There were no children checked into the hotel." That was my first stay at the Stanley Hotel.
Oh,
that's from Kimberly. And that is a very, very, very common story about the Stanley Hotel or hearing kids and playing.
Children.
Mm-hmm. There's lots of reports of kids.
Interesting.
Hearing kids and the ball thing, too.
That was a good story.
Yeah. And I like the way she saved that for the very end about the Stanley Hotel.
That was really well written. It was really a good story. And I totally believe it. You know, I see zero reason that that wouldn't happen at the Stanley Hotel.
Agreed.
With children playing with a ball. Interesting. I wonder when they went there, were they kind of like, I'm not sure. Was it the husband or the wife that wrote in? I wasn't quite sure.
It was Kimberly wrote in.
Okay, Kimberly. Okay. So, but Kimberly's husband never heard it, never woke up.
You know, men, they never wake up. And there's so many women who have paranormal experiences and then they go to wake up their boyfriend or spouse and he doesn't wake up. That happens all the time.
And, you know, yeah, because that's when you want them to wake up so that they can verify this, that they hear it too. You want that. You know, you want somebody else that hears it.
I don't even need the verification. I just need someone awake to be like, I got you.
You just need out.
Like, I got you. Let's go. Let's just pack up and go. I'd be like, well, and in that case, it's like, man, we'd be out of here right now if we didn't have to drive down mountains in the snow. But
morning,
we're out of here.
That.
But just stay awake with me.
Oh my god!
Oh, I would be terrified. That was a great story.
Gosh.
So here's our next call.
Hey guys, I love the show. I'm from a small town in Canada. So basically, this was, I don't know, probably 10, 11 years ago. It all started. Me and a buddy were playing with a Ouija board. And I didn't believe it. We started asking questions, and they're kind of like, oh, you know, ask it anything you want. I asked it my civic address, which, like, the number on my house, which they wouldn't know. And guess what? It told me. So I freaked out and left. I didn't say goodbye, nothing. As crazy as it sounds, I feel like it kind of opened something up. A couple hours, it was literally hours after that, We were going down the road. I was on my dirt bike. My cousin was on their four-wheeler. My cousin and her boyfriend were with me. And I seen two little girls standing on the side of the road, and they were way too young. Like, I don't know. It might have been five. And on my road, I guess to explain it the best, I'm in the middle of nowhere. Like, we're in the damn sticks. And I know everybody on my road. Most of them are family. And these little girls were just standing on the side of the road. I had never seen them before. They looked terrifying. Like, I just had that weird feeling in my gut. And my cousin said that they didn't even look at them. They just eyes locked on me. So, I don't know. I still, to this day, I drive by there every day and, to go to work. And I still just, after dark, I get a really, really weird feeling. Like, it's just not good. So fast forward, I don't know. It was just recently my grandfather passed, and I guess before he passed, he kept seeing stuff, and I think it's common. And he seen a little boy on the counter, and he kept telling him, hey, get off the counter, you're not supposed to be up there. And then clued into what was going on. There was no little boy. And so I was telling my grandmother was telling me this because I heard a noise upstairs in her house, and I was like, oh, it's your ghost. And she lives in the same yard as me. She's like, oh yeah, you know, it could be, we never seen anything there, never heard anything. And she's like, well, your grandfather said that he seen, two little girls standing in the doorway one night. She's like, oh, I think he was just losing his marbles and laughed it off. And I was like, do you remember the two little girls I seen down the road? And like the look on her face, just, it's like she seen the ghost. I just thought it was really weird, just too similar to be, you know, I don't know. And then I got thinking about it when one of my little cousins, she was only like four or five, just kind of starting to talk. She kept talking about her two friends in the woods around the house. And she lived with my grandmother at the time. Yeah, she was always talking about her friends in the woods and how they would, you know, try to play with her. And it's just scary as shit. And where I live reminds me of like a fucking horror movie. It is, I'm a 300 pound power lifter. I'm not supposed to be scared. I don't like going outside at night. It's scary as shit. I have a million other stories that I'll probably call back with. Sorry it was short and I kind of rambled. Love the show. Bye.
Okay, I will have to say this first, is I do feel better about my own wussy-ass self, that he's a 300-pound power lifter and he gets all freaked out like I do. You know, when he was telling that story about seeing those two girls, though, as he's telling the story, like my reaction, you think would be, oh my gosh, these two little girls shouldn't be out here. I need to help them. But he got a bad vibe. He knew better. Like he was instant, like, no, like,
yeah,
and locked eyes with him, and it was different. It wasn't like two little girls that needed help.
Yeah, because I think, like you said, you know, your natural inclination is, oh my God, two children, stop, help, figure out what's going on with them. But he knew it was wrong.
Because I think most of us, that isn't even a thought. You would see two little kids where they shouldn't be. It would be automatic to just stop to help him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah.
Because, and then, like, was it the grandpa who saw the two little girls?
I believe so. I believe it was the grandpa saw them.
And then was it his cousin
was living with the grandparents, at the time?
Yeah, then she saw him. Like, yeah. That's some creepy stuff. And especially the way he described it out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, when you do live out in the middle of nowhere, you know who your neighbors are. So you would you'd see a little kid and be like, well, that's Kathy's boy. But there should be no little kids out there.
Oh my gosh. That's really creepy. Like, as he's, to quote him, scary as shit.
Scary as shit. I was scared just listening to it. But I do feel better when I hear that other people kind of react the way I do. Like, oh my God.
You are the biggest scary cat, though.
I mean, I'll go in places like I'm fascinated by old buildings and I'm drawn to them. I'm drawn to something that looks haunted. I am. Give me the historical tour during the day. I'm down for that. Not the ghost tour at night necessarily. I don't know. I've had a lot of people try to talk me into doing it, and I might. There's a couple of them. I'm like, I said, if I go to investigate, would you be pissed off if I left in the middle of the night? They're like, no. Okay, then maybe I will.
That could happen, because that has happened.
But call in with more stories, because we'd love to hear them, because that one was creepy. Now, that's what I'm going to have a nightmare about tonight, is two little girls
locking
eyes with me.
Yep, they're gonna show up in my dreams tonight.
So I've got one more short story. It says, okay. I know this isn't your typical ghost story, but it's one of the creepiest experiences I've had, and I would definitely like to know if you guys think this is paranormal. I love the show. This is my first time writing in. If you like this story, I have a few more I can share. One day, I was spring cleaning my apartment and was planning to have friends over later that night. Right before my friends showed up, I saged my apartment after I cleaned it because I had been feeling a heavy energy in my apartment. One friend showed up first with his new puppy, and my dog and his puppy were romping around playing. They were super excited to see each other. This is relevant. Just a short time later, another friend showed up with someone I didn't know. And as soon as this new guy walked in, I felt like I wanted him out of my apartment. But I was a good hostess and tried to welcome him. That would be awkward because what do you do? This person came with your friend. And even if you're the best hostess in the world, it's like, I am getting bad vibes off of you. You don't just go, we're shutting the party down.
You can't just kick them out.
It's like, take your adorable puppy. You guys are leaving too. You don't have any choice but really to let him stay. And then you tell yourself you're crazy.
Yeah, that's the normal thing.
So it says,
you're overreacting.
Yeah, but my dog, that is the friendliest dog I've ever seen, started barking at him and came and sat right on top of my lap. My friend's dog also started growling and baring his teeth and wouldn't leave his owner's side. Both of the dogs wouldn't take their eyes off this guy. Got to look at the dogs. The animals always react in a way. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I had already had a few drinks at this point, was feeling good, and a random thought crossed my mind. This guy reminds me of Screw Tape. That's what it says. I'm a literature nerd, so my reference is to C.S. Lewis, amused me, but didn't share it, thinking it was a silly drunk thought. And C.S. Lewis, outside of writing Alice in Wonderland, I'm not really familiar with any of it. Are you familiar with Screw Tape?
No, I'm not. I'm really not.
So after only about 15 minutes, I pulled my friend aside and told him he needed to get his friend out of my apartment. The dark energy was just too apparent. That's a good hostess thing to do. Take your friend aside. Your friend is giving me really bad energy.
Your friend is creepy as shit.
And
he's gonna have to go.
Why are you not picking up on this?
Yeah, what's wrong with you, Bill?
The dog still hadn't moved and still hadn't stopped growling. My friend was kind of hurt and confused, as he knew I'm a very welcoming person, but obliged. And a few moments later, as they were walking out of the door, this new guy stopped at my bookshelf and immediately pulled out my copy of the Screw Tape Letters. That must be a C.S. Lewis book thing. And looked directly at me and said, "This is a great book. That Screw Tape guy has some good ideas. Really clever. Look this up while I'm talking. Screw Tape. It's all one word." When he said that, I looked at him and said, "Get out of my apartment. You're not welcome here." And they both left. I still get chills every time I think about that experience. One, if you've read the Screw Tape Letters, you know what a small book it is. This guy didn't pause when he picked it up, like he knew exactly where it was on my overfilled bookshelf. Okay, creepy. Two, I didn't vocalize any of my thoughts about this guy and how he reminded me of the demon Screw Tape. As soon as he left, I saged the apartment again, and the dogs were back to normal and playing. I've always been baffled by this experience, and I have no explanation. Do you think it was all just a huge coincidence? If you guys have heard anything like this, let me know. I feel like I'm pretty sensitive to people's energies and always trust my gut about people, especially after that experience. I love listening to the show while I'm driving. It helps the time go by. I hope to hear your opinions on this. Do you think because I recognized a demonic energy, it was consciously verifying to me with the book? Maybe I was sensitive to the dark energy because I had just cleansed and blessed my space. It felt like he was mocking me as he held up that little book. Who knows? It could have all been one giant coincidence. Oh, that person's name is Falcon. So I don't know. Did you look it up?
Yeah.
Does it say?
Okay, so it says that C.S. Lewis was friends with J.R.R. Tolkien, and the book is actually dedicated to him.
He wrote the Hobbit series.
Mm-hmm. And it's a book where it talks about different theological issues and talking about temptation and resistance to things. And it's kind of a series of lessons for people in their Christian faith. But the screw tape is a being of some sort that holds an administrative post in the bureaucracy, the lowerarchy of hell, and tries to, you know, get people to do things. So he's bad.
I do find this very interesting. So everything's cool. Like, this person, Falcon, is obviously very sensitive because it's like, I'm feeling some dark energy in my apartment. Going to sage it before the guests get here.
Mm-hmm.
And then guests arrive. Everything's great. Can't go wrong with an adorable puppy and dogs playing. That's cutest.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as this person walks in, was like, and thought of the screw tape character in the book, demonic person. Mm-hmm. And then of all the books, would that person would go over and pick that one up and be like, So then my question is, I would like to know, the next day when you called your friend and you said, who the hell was that you brought over my house last night?
I want to know what.
I don't think that happened, but I would have done that. Like, at some point I would have asked.
Yeah. You brought him to the house. Where'd he come from? Like, how do you know him?
Yeah.
Kind of stuff, right?
We've all had encounters with people that as soon as you meet them, it's like, this is not good. I got to get away from this person. And I do think, thinking of screw tape and then that person saying that, I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's really odd. But I'd like to know more. Like, how did your friend know this person? Did you know this friend really well? Do you trust
him? Did he ever show up again anywhere?
Yeah, like, what happened to this
person? Like, at somebody else's house, did he show up with the friend again or something? Or,
because I remember one time years and years ago in that house when we lived in Hayes, Kansas, at Yellow House, and you had moved out. I was having a party. Somebody brings a guy over, and he's like, everybody was leaving. And me and this one guy were going back to the bar to get a car. It was hours later. So we were just going to walk. It wasn't that far. And the guy's like, I'll give you a ride. And so we get in his car, but he drove right past the car and kept on going. And I was like, that's the car. There's the car. And he kept going and kept going and kept going. He starts going like, we're miles away. Like, we're on the other side of town. Up by the interstate in Hayes, and we were down. That's quite a ways.
So
somehow some point in there, he gets pulled over by the cops. And so we're like, oh my God, this is our chance to get out of this car. So we get out. We ask the cops, can we get out? And they're like, yeah. So we get out and they're like, what are you doing with this guy? And we said, he offered to give us a ride, and we stupidly said yes, but we went by our car like 3 miles ago, and I don't know where he's taking us. I still to this day don't know where this guy was going with us because he wasn't talking. We kept saying, open the door, stop, let us go. And yeah. I think we would have jumped out eventually if he, when he would have stopped. But the cop said, well, you guys okay to walk back home? Because he's going with us. That's all I know.
Oh.
That's all I know. I don't know who the guy's name. I don't know what his name was. I don't know who brought him to the party now. But it was really creepy. So the weird guy ended up at my house. And I don't know what he was going to do with us. But it kind of reminds me of that kind of weird shit. Like, what was he going to do if he'd have stayed there?
Yeah.
I don't know. That one was creepy to me.
You very lucky that the you got pulled over.
I know it. Oh, my God. You know, I was probably 21 years old or something like that in my life. Like, at 21, you never want to get pulled. I don't want to get pulled over by the cops now.
Yeah.
But, like, that's always just bad. Oh, my God, the cops. I had never been so happy in my life to see lights behind us. I'm like, oh, my God, we can get out of here.
Wow. And then they were taking him. So you wonder what it was he'd done that they're going to take him to the police station.
Oh, and, like, immediately. Like,
yeah.
There was, and we're like, you know what? We're good. It's a, we're just a couple miles away. We're happy to walk.
Probably more
we
like three or four.
Happy to walk.
But we would be happy to get a little fresh air.
Because we're alive.
Time of 2 o'clock in the morning.
It was. It was like three in the morning. It's like we are fine to walk. We got no problem with that. Oh my God, forgot about that. So if you have a real ghost story, just a creeper story like that, call it in. It's 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can become a premium subscriber. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. Sign up today at Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up at patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.